Here at Jewish Rock Radio, we care about the meaning and the action behind Jewish music. Every week on Jewish Rock Radio, we feature a series of provocative shows hosted by top artists in Jewish life, dedicated to enriching your knowledge about Jewish artists, their music, and the impact they're having on our world today. Up next on Jewish Rock Radio, join us for Jewish Holiday Remix with host Jacob Spike Kraus. Jewish Holiday Remix explores the hidden and the holy in the music of our holidays. Get ready for an unexpected musical look behind your favorite holidays. You're listening to Jewish Rock Radio and Jewish Holiday Remix with Jacob Spike Kraus.
Hey y'all, this is Jacob Spike Kraus, and you're listening to my Jewish Rock Radio show, Jewish Holiday Remix, exploring the hidden and the holy in the music of our holidays. We explore the themes and unexpected connections hiding just beneath the surface of some of our favorite holiday songs, as well as contemporary Jewish songs that are reinterpreting holidays in new and exciting ways. This episode, we're focused on Simchat Torah. Fam, welcome in to episode 17 of Jewish Holiday Remix. It has been a whirlwind of a summer for me. Summer camps were back in full swing, which means my summer travel schedule is back in full swing. I got married, I went on a honeymoon, shout out to Greece and Italy, we had an amazing time, and Casey and our dog Ollie and I moved across the country back to the tri-state area. We are now in New Jersey. Now, despite all of that, you know, I had to make some time to hit on a brand new holiday that we haven't had a chance to explore yet on this show. Now, I'm talking about Simchat Torah. You might remember Simchat Torah from growing up. We take all the Torahs out of the Ark, we dance around the building, the rabbis go nuts, the kids wave paper flags that rip up and tear halfway through the night because those festivities get crazy raucous. Now, there's a lot more to this holiday than meets the eye, but first, here are some basics. Simchat Torah celebrates finishing reading the Torah, the last part of the book of Deuteronomy, and immediately starting over again with the first part of Genesis. Let's start with some Torah navigation review. So here is the five-book strut by Rabbi Noam Katz on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
Genesis, Shemot, Exodus, Vayikra, Leviticus, and just two more. The Book of Numbers, Bamidbar, and the very last book that we read in Hebrew, it's called Devarim. First there's the Gagah, that was the first key books, then Spot, Home of Kalalah, a hike up Masada floating on the Dead Sea, up the Jordan River to the Galilee, until the Apple one is new, one is old, but don't you forget about the city of gold. Do, 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 do
That was the five-book strut by Rabbi Noam Katz off of the compilation album Mangi Note, which has a bunch of really excellent Jewish children's music. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to Jewish Holiday Remix on Jewish Rock Radio. All right, so there's a lot of circle imagery associated with Simchat Torah. We dance with the Torahs in a circle. Some communities unroll the entire Torah in a circle so you can see the entire thing open all at once, etc., etc. There's also the circles you can't see, the cycles that we celebrate with this holiday. Remember that Simchat Torah marks the completion of the yearly reading of the Torah. We finish the end of Deuteronomy, and then, immediately, with no pause, we start right back at the beginning. Why don't we take even one single day to regroup and refocus before starting again? Wouldn't that be helpful? It's because doing it this way reminds us that the process of Torah learning is unending. No matter how old, how experienced, how learned or well-read you are, our engagement with the laws and lessons of our Torah never stops. There's always something more to learn. Remember last episode we did Shavuot, and we learned about the Torah being a symbol of God's love for us? Well, Simchat Torah then becomes a symbol of that unending cycle of love that we get to begin again and rejoice with every single year. To remind us of that teaching, here is We Are Loved by Shir Yaakov on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
For soothing, we are counseled by voices that guide us, even when we are too embittered to hear. We are loved, loved, loved by unending love, an unending love. We are loved. Even when we are too weak for meeting, we are loved, loved, loved by unending love and unending love. We are loved, loved, loved by unending love and unending love. Touched, soothed, and counseled, ours are the arms, the fingers, the voices. Ours are the hands, the eyes, the smiles. We are loved by an unending love. We are loved, loved, loved by unending love.
Love.
That was We Are Loved by Shir Yaakov off of the album La. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to Jewish Holiday Remix on Jewish Rock Radio. So some of you might not know, but Simchat Torah is actually the second day of a different holiday altogether. Shmini Atzeret is a biblical holiday that marks the end of Sukkot. Atzeret means assembly, and Shmini Atzeret, the purpose is kind of unclear, if that makes sense. Ritual cleansing of the sacrificial altar, maybe? Some rabbis think that it was used as an excuse to extend the pilgrimage festival of Sukkot one more day, right? Because remember that in the ancient temple times, people would come from all over to the temple in Jerusalem for Sukkot and making sacrifices and offerings. And celebrating another holiday at the end of Sukkot delayed their departure for just a little bit longer. Now, the process of finishing Torah readings, finishing Deuteronomy on this day, is documented in the Talmud, but it's not called Simchat Torah, it's just called the second day of Shmini Atzeret. Certainly, there was no need for Shmini Atzeret to be a two-day holiday, right, if you ask me. But that's what it was. I mean, like, how much time do you really need to ritually clean the altar in the temple? The creation of what we know and what we call Simchat Torah, was actually a medieval thing. I feel like the rabbis really took to heart the words of Psalm 96, which we've talked about before on the show. It's one of my favorites. Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash, right? Sing a new song to God. If you do the same thing over and over again, it gets stale and boring and repetitive. Bringing a new name and slightly altered customs to a second day of Shmini Atzeret brings a new energy to the observance. It changes it from the first day. So it's not just the second day of Shmini Atzeret anymore. Now it's Simchat Torah, our day of celebrating our unending cycle of learning, bringing new energy, new joy to that celebration. It's almost like a Shir Chadash, a new song. Here is Shir Chadash by Julie Silver, only on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
God, a new song. Sing unto God. sing unto God a new song.
You know, you're not a real fan until you fan us on Facebook. Come on, let's be friends.
Jewish Rock Radio. Jewish Rock Radio is listener supported. We count on your support to provide the ultimate in Jewish rock. Visit www.jewishrockradio.com/support and pledge your support today.
Welcome back, y'all. This is Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to my Jewish Rock Radio show, Jewish Holiday Remix, exploring the hidden and the holy in the music of our holidays. This episode, we're tying together some of the lesser-known themes of Simchat Torah. Welcome to the Kids Corner, y'all. So every episode, I feature one song in particular that can shift the way we teach about these holidays to our kids. This week, for Simchat Torah, that song is The World is a Circle by Craig Taubman. There are so many circles to talk about with students when it comes to Simchat Torah, right? So instead of playing through all the same Torah songs, Sweet as Honey, Torah Tziva Lanu, Al Shlosha Devarim, Romimu, all that stuff, what if we take the opportunity to actually talk about why there are so many circles and why circles are such an important shape in Judaism? Remember our discussion of unending learning? That's a great point to hammer home to your students, many of whom might consider dropping out of Hebrew school after Bar Bat Mitzvah. Now, functionally, circles are a great engagement setup because everyone is equally involved. Now, more on how that plays it out in Simchat Torah a bit later on, everybody being involved, that's going to come back, and everybody getting a chance. We're going to talk about that in a few songs. But for now, the circle is a reminder for students that everyone is equal. Everyone has something to offer. The words of Craig's The World is a Circle remind us that we are all part of the circle of Judaism, of Torah, and of our communities. Here is The World is a Circle by Craig Taubman on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
Never-ending circle, a never-ending circle, going round and round. The sun goes up, and the moon goes down, and the world goes around and around and round. I am a part of the circle, a part of the circle, going round and round. I am a part of the circle, a part of the circle, going round and round.
The world is a circle, a never-ending circle.
Yes, you are a part of the circle, a part of the circle going round and round. You are a part of the circle, a part of the circle going round.
Circle going round and
That was The World is a Circle by Craig Taubman, off the album How Good. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to Jewish Holiday Remix on Jewish Rock Radio. So, I recently got married. I feel like I mentioned that at the top of the episode. And I started to notice similarities between the wedding ceremony and traditional Simchat Torah celebrations. So check this out. During a traditional Jewish wedding ceremony, the bride circles the groom 7 times before the couple heads under the chuppah. In more egalitarian communities, the couple might circle each other, or they might split the 7 circles in half. That's how Casey and I did it this past spring. Look, however you slice it, there are 7 circles. But wait, isn't that exactly the same as the number of Simchat Torah hakafot? Yeah, it is. When we celebrate Simchat Torah, we take all of the Torahs out of the Ark. It's like one of the only times during the year we actually do that and pull them all out. And then we dance around with them in hakafot, making 7 circles around our space. So what's the symbolism? What's the connection, right? Well, just like in a wedding ceremony, our relationship with the study of Torah is a deeply committed one. It's a relationship that challenges and perplexes us in the most rewarding ways. It's an intimate relationship that we recommit to year after year on this anniversary of Torah learning. But the wedding symbolism doesn't stop there. Look, traditionally, during Simchat Torah, we call up everyone who wants one to have an aliyah to the Torah. Now you might be thinking and asking like, Spike, but there's only 7 aliyot. There's that number 7 again. Spike, but there's only 7 aliyot. How can everybody get an aliyah? Look, I'm so glad you asked. So many communities will repeat the first 5 aliyot over and over and over and over and over again so that anyone who wants to can be called to the Torah. Remember last section we talked about how Simchat Torah gets everybody involved, like a circle, gives everybody that space, that opportunity, that equality. This is one of the ways that happens. They'll repeat these aliyot. Some communities might call group aliyot up if they want to do it that way, but everybody's getting an aliyah. They'll do it over and over again until everybody's gone. Then the final aliyah of the book of Deuteronomy is a special aliyah, and that's called Chatan Torah, or literally the groom of the Torah. And then it's also a special honor to receive the first aliyah of the book of Genesis at the start of the Torah, and that's called Chatan Bereshit, or the groom of Genesis. More egalitarian communities might change Chatan, which is groom, to Kala, which is bride, or they might have one of each, or they might have 2 Kalot instead. Look, there's so many similarities between Simchat Torah celebrations and our most archetypal ceremony of love. The Torah is our beloved, and we are the Torahs. Recommitting year after year to fostering this personal, intimate relationship. And so with those loving words, here is Dodi Li, written by Deborah Sachs Mintz and performed by the trio New Moon Rising on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish Rock.
Achati yonati tamar. ידעתי אחתי, אחתי יונתי, תמותי אחתי. אני לדודי ודודי Dodi ve'amali kumi lach rayati ana dodi ve'amali kumi lach rayati ke shoshana beira chochim ke Shoshana Beir HaKochim Kein Rayati Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li Haroe Haroe Bashoshani Farayati Einai Yoni Hinach Yafa Farayati Einai Yoni Ani Ledodi
That was Dodi Li by New Moon Rising off of their new live album. Definitely check it out. Some gorgeous harmonies on that one. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to Jewish Holiday Remix on Jewish Rock Radio. All right, check this out. The next factoid about Simchat Torah is my absolute favorite thing that I learned while researching for this episode. So you might be familiar with Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing that clergy offer during life cycle events and on some festivals, right? The words translate to, may God bless you and keep you. May the light of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's face always be lifted up to you and bring you peace. Simchat Torah is one of those festivals where we say the priestly blessing during tefillah, during services. But it's not exactly like any other festival. So usually in those circumstances and on those holidays, the priestly blessing is offered during the Musaf service, which comes after the Shacharit, which is the morning service. Now on Simchat Torah, we say the priestly blessing early during the Shacharit morning service. Why do we do that? Well, remember Chatan Torah that we just talked about? It turns out there's an old custom of serving alcohol during that moment to embellish those wedding festivities, right? It's this special aliyah that finishes the reading of Deuteronomy, that finishes the end of the Torah. You're literally the bride and the groom of the Torah, so we're bringing out alcohol, we're getting drunk, we're having a great time. After all, we're at a wedding, right? Our wedding kind of-ish, maybe? All right, anyways, there is a prohibition against the Kohanim, the priests, offering the priestly blessing while they're intoxicated. So check this out. Since the Musaf service, when we would typically say the priestly blessing, comes after Chatan Torah in the morning service, communities moved the priestly blessing before the Torah reading into the Shacharit service so that there was absolutely no way any of the Kohanim, who were definitely going to get drunk with all of their community and colleagues, who would inevitably participate in the alcoholic beverages during Simchat Torah, there was no way they would possibly already be drunk while they were offering the priestly blessing. Isn't that nuts? I did not think that I would have drunk priest on my Jewish Holiday Remix bingo card this episode, but here we are. So we gotta do a priestly blessing song. I wanted to share this new version of the priestly blessing that I composed a couple years ago for my congregation in Michigan that I was serving as the artist in residence, Temple Israel of West Bloomfield. Now it's performed in a trio by Rabbi Jen Lader and cantors Neil Michaels and Michael Smolash. Here is Yivarechecha by me, Jacob Spike Krause, on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish Rock.
Send me home. Yasemcha,
Yasemcha, Shalom.
Can't get enough Jewish rock? Visit us online at jewishrockradio.com. Jewish Rock Radio is listener supported. We count on your support to provide the ultimate in Jewish rock. Visit www.jewishrockradio.com/support and pledge your support today.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to my Jewish Rock Radio show, Jewish Holiday Remix, exploring the hidden and the holy in the music of our holidays. This episode is all about Simchat Torah. So I have incredible memories of the giant dance party mosh pit that is Simchat Torah. As a little kid, I would run around the social hall of my synagogue, waving paper flags and dancing to the music of the band we would hire just for that one evening celebration. It was a straight party, y'all. But I never got to hold the Torah. Right? That was for like adults, for sure-footed adults, because carrying the Torah, literally dance, flying around the room holding the Torah is such a huge honor and also like a huge responsibility. So in Hasidic thought, those people, the ones who carry the Torah during the Hakafah, they are often called the feet of the Torah. Huh? The feet of the Torah, what's that about? Like, what does that mean? So think about it on a basic level. The Torah has no feet, obviously. It has no ability to move on its own. As we dance holding the Torah, we literally become the feet of the Torah. Now, on a more figurative level, think about the working of the human body, right? Feet don't move by themselves. They receive instructions from the brain. Now, the brain, conversely, can't move on its own, and it needs the feet to carry it. It's a real partnership. So on Simchat Torah, our dancing with the Torah, carrying it from place to place, draws an indelible link between our acceptance of God's laws and precepts, the way our feet accept our brain's commands. And just as the brain gets benefit from being mobile, right, it's exposed to new information that can then encourage better decision-making, the Torah can also benefit from being mobile as well. What do you mean? How can that be? Okay. It can be transported to more communities, it can be shared with more minds, it can be celebrated by communities of all shapes and sizes and abilities and disabilities. Makom shelibi ohev, the place that my heart, or in this case, that my brain, that the Torah holds dear, there my feet will bring me. This is Makom shelibi ohev by Cantor Leon Schur, performed here by Beged Kefet, on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish Rock.
That my heart
That was Makom Sheli Bi Ohev by Beged Keffet off of their album Go Out in Joy. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and you're listening to Jewish Holiday Remix on Jewish Rock Radio. All right, y'all, my bad. I can't believe that we've made it through the whole episode without translating Simchat Torah. That's 100% my fault. I apologize. Simchat Torah, celebrating the Torah, or maybe more accurately, the happiness of the Torah, or the joy of the Torah, right? Because Simcha means happy or joyful. Joy is such an integral part of this holiday, it's literally in the name of the holiday. Now, Simchat Torah more or less marks the end of what I would call the high holiday season, the high holiday cycle. It's not Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, it's not one of the high holidays, but these are so close together, the high holidays, plus Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, these holidays are so close together on the calendar that I think we can kind of lump them together into what I would call our start the year on the right foot category. We focus on how we messed up last year and we promise to do better this coming year. And once we've done all this soul searching and committing, recommitting, we want to end on a joyous, upbeat note, right? We want to end with energy and enthusiasm, excited to try again the coming year, not disappointed or sulking about the past. We finish the Torah and we start over again. We finish the previous year and begin anew. And we do that with energy, with excitement, with ruach. Psalm 98 talks all about energy and joy by personifying the world around us, literally shouting and dancing for joy. The earth rejoicing, the waters, the rivers clapping their hands, the mountains singing in excitement. That right there, that's the vibe of Simchat Torah. So I went deep into the vault to find this version of Psalm 98 because I think not just lyrically, but musically, stylistically, it is the perfect fit for the joy and the energy and the enthusiasm of Simchat Torah. So this is an a cappella version of Psalm 98 that was first recorded by Columbia University's Pizmon, which is the Jewish a cappella group at Columbia. I sang it actually in my Jewish high school a cappella group. We were called Shenanigans because I went to Gann Academy. Here is Zamru by Pizmon on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
Do, 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 do. Do 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 do
That was Zamru by Pizmon from their album Pieces of Light. I'm your host, Jacob Spike Krause, and that's it for Jewish Holiday Remix for now. Once again, y'all, it was such an honor to share music with you today, and I'm looking forward to doing it again real soon. You can stream the last episode of Jewish Holiday Remix and learn more about the artists featured on this show by visiting jewishrockradio.com/showtimes. And while you're at it, make sure that you follow Jewish Rock Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Stay tuned to Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock. Good luck, everybody, starting your year off with joy and ruach and enthusiasm. Happy Simchat Torah. I cannot wait to be with you again so soon.